ॐ सहनावतु सहनौनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. ॐ शं शान्ति शान्ति. ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद् परं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्. ॐ वार्ताय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्म वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैस्साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदै गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुः सुरः सुरस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः. ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः. ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः. ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः. So in the 18th chapter, we have covered 25 verses so far. And a brief summary of that is that we start our life with the Karta Bhav, that I am the doer. I do this, I do that. And when I am the Karta, I am also the Bhokta. That means whatever I do, if I say I do it, then I am the enjoyer or the sufferer of the results. So the results come to the one who is the doer. And Bhagavan throughout the Bhagavad Gita shifts our attention from the doer to the self, the consciousness. That is my true nature, right from the second chapter. Bhagavan says that. And this BMI, this body, mind, and intellect is the perceiver, feeler, thinker, is the doer, and the results come to the BMI, not to me, because I am not that. And Bhagwan then talked about the jnanam, karma, and karta, the knowledge, the action, and the doer. And we have already covered the knowledge and the action. And that is that the true knowledge of the sattvic individual, each of those knowledge, karma, karta, he divides into sattva, rajas, and tamas. And the sattvic jnanam and the sattvic karma is that understanding that there is one avibhaktam vibhakteshu. In this whole divided universe, there is one indivisible consciousness. That alone is the reality. That alone is me. That is my true nature. And to see the differences is rajasic. That I am different from her, her, him. So that when I see the difference, I am different from the tree, the plant, the bird, the animal, then that is rajasic. And to focus on those differences is the cause of sorrow. And what is tamas? Tamas is the understanding that this tiny bit alone is real. Focusing on one small part, and that is my understanding, and that alone is real. Ansha, ansha, even a part of the part, that one limited knowledge, and that alone is real, that alone is good, and everybody who does not believe should be destroyed. That is tamasic, and that leads to fanaticism, that leads to violence. Even rajas can lead to fanaticism and violence when I try to impose my will on others. And where does my purushartha come? Bhagavan never says throughout the Bhagavad Gita that this is sattva, rajas, tamas, and you must follow sattva. He gives the choice to us. Yate chasi tatha kuru. Do what you wish. And our purushartha, our humanness, our understanding comes that I should as much as possible remain in sattva. If I see rajas and tamas arising, let me come out of that and stay as much as possible in sattva. And what is sattva? Focusing on the cause. Like in all the pots, there is one mud. In all the ornaments, there is one gold. In this whole universe, there is one God, one consciousness. And this nama rupa is for vyavahara, for transactional purposes. Yes, there are different names and forms, but the sattvic person focuses on the one that is indivisible, that is the substratum. And that is sattvic understanding. There is one atma, one consciousness in all. Rajasic says there are different gods, my God, your God. And my God is different from your God. And that is rajasic. Tamasic is this body alone is God. So my purpose of life is to take care of this body. And this is where we are. So today we will talk about sattvic karta. Sattvic, rajasic and tamasic karta. Who is the doer of these actions? And it is shloka number 26. Chapter 18, shloka number 26. Mukta sangohan, mukta sangohanaham vadi.
Mukta sangohanaham.
Trityutsaha samanvitaha. Siddhya siddhyo nirvikaraha. Karta sattvika uchyate. Together, mukta sango naham vadi, vidyutsaha samanvitaha, siddhya siddhyo nirvikaraha, karta sattvika uchyate. So last portion is karta sattvika uchyate. He is said to be a sattvic karta, and that is what we should aim to be. Who is that? So Bhagavan explains it very well. Mukta sangha, free of attachment. Anaham vadi, aham means I. Anaham means not I, not focusing on I. Vadi means one who does not focus constantly on I, what did I do, what did I do, I, me, my. He doesn't focus on that. And driti utsaha, driti means fortitude, utsaha means enthusiasm. He is enthusiastic about life. He's not pessimistic. Whatever comes, he does it with enthusiasm. Samanvita means full of that. He's full of enthusiasm and fortitude. Dhriti does not let circumstances deviate him from his goal. And he knows, or she, whoever that individual is, Siddhi and Asiddhi will come. Some things I will be successful, some things I will not be successful. But Nirvikara remains balanced, remains unaffected. Such a person is said to be Sattvic. So as we said, Bhagwan uses the word asanga, and it is said, somebody counted, that Bhagwan has used sanga and asanga 72 times in the Bhagavad Gita. That means that is a very, very important, because that is our biggest obstacle, not only in our spiritual journey, but also in any worldly success. If I'm very attached to one thing or a person or something, then I won't be able to progress even in the world. We see great discoveries, great scientific inventions. These people spent hours, days, months in the lab, you know, researching, studying, thinking. So detachment is very important for material progress and for spiritual progress. These great freedom fighters, you know, left their home and, you know, stayed in isolated places. So any success needs some element of detachment. And that's why Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji says in a very beautiful shloka, asangoham, asangoham, asangoham punar punaha, sachidananda rupoham, ahamevaham avyayah. That is a very beautiful line where he says, I am unattached. Why? Because I am of that nature of sachidananda consciousness. And I function in the world, but inside I know that I am that immutable consciousness. And in that understanding, I am unaffected by what is happening to the body, because the body, the mind, the intellect will go through ups and downs, will go through success and failure, but he remains unaffected. And whatever his duty comes to him, he does it without likes and dislikes. I like this, I don't like this. No, this is my duty. Bhagwan has placed me in this spot as a mother, as a father, as a child, as a brother, sister, as an executive, finance, whatever my job is. I do it without likes and dislikes. Do it as dedication to Bhagwan. And a sattvic person does not brag, does not say, you know, I did this, I did that. Without me, this wouldn't have happened. People say, hey, you don't know, in the corporate world, unless you show off, you never progress. If you say you quietly came and did it, unless you tell 10 people, you know, because of me, this project was successful. Ultimately, everybody knows who is really doing and who is not. And by showing off that I am doing it, all I'm doing is fattening the ego, because ultimately who is doing everything? Bhagwan alone. It is because of him that I am able to work. It's because of him I'm able to function all my abilities. So when a person works like that, then there is true inspiration. But people say, if I don't have any, you know, follow any result, I don't do it for a selfish reason, how will I be inspired? You know, inspiration only comes when I'm doing it for myself. When majority of the people in the world think that if it's I'm doing it for me, then they put their best effort. But if they are doing it for society, for community, for some organization, then they say, theek hai, you know, if I have time, I'll do it. But a sattvic person is the other way around. His own interest he will sacrifice, but the higher interest, doing God's work or doing community work or doing social work, for him is the number one purpose. So my own interest becomes secondary to the interest of society, to God's work. And that is true inspiration, true sattvic. Rajasic will get easily disturbed. He'll say, if I don't get it, then why should I work? There's a very beautiful story comes in Valmiki Ramayana about Swayam Prabha. So there were, as we know, when all the monkeys were going to look for Sitaji, this is a very rare story. I actually hadn't heard it before recently. So the monkeys and Hanumanji were sent in the south, and all the monkeys were sent in different directions, east, west, north, south. And after a while, the monkeys, you know, get tired. Hey, we are not finding Sitaji. Where's food? Where's water? So that became for them most important. You know, I mean, I don't know when we'll find her, where she is. And so Hanumanji and the monkeys were going south, and they come to a cave. And they say, let's see what's in the cave. By the time the monkeys were tired, they were hungry. And they go into this cave, and it turns out to be a beautiful inside. It's all lit up, golden, all beautiful lights. There are ponds with the lotuses on it and blooming, and there are fruits loaded. The trees are loaded, huge cave. How did this happen in the middle of the forest? There is nobody here. And why is this cave so? And immediately the monkeys, oh God, there are fruits. They started eating the fruits. They were very happy. Hanumanji said, let's see, you know, what's going on? How is this happening? So he goes to the back of the cave, and he sees this young girl sitting there with wearing the tree bark of the tree, black as her clothing. That's all her clothes were, the bark. And she's sitting in deep meditation. And Hanumanji just watches her for a while, and then she opens her eyes, and Hanumanji asks her, who are you, Devi? What are you doing here all alone in the middle of the forest? And what is this cave, you know? So she asks him, you know, where are you going? And he says, we are going to look for Sitaji, and we're doing Ramchandraji's work. So she says, okay, you are on a good mission. You can have as much fruit as you want. Stay as long as you want. So he said, but how did this cave come about? I mean, what is this? So then she says, you know, there was a Rakshas. His name was Maya. His actual name was Maya, and he was very powerful. And he started sitting in this cave and meditating. And for years, he was meditating and became very powerful. And he built this beautiful cave for his pleasure, for his enjoyment. And one day, an Apsara came from heaven. She was attracted to all this. Her name was Hema. And he got so fascinated with the Apsara that he forgot what, you know, he was supposed to do. And he got distracted. And at that time, Indra came. I'm sure Indra probably sent her. He came with his thunderbolt, and he destroyed that demon because he had temporarily got distracted with this Apsara. And I am Hema's friend. And Hema, of course, went back to heaven, but she assigned me here. My name is Swayam Prabha, and I'm here guarding this. And I stay in meditation all the time. When somebody is on a good path, I let them have the fruit. So Hanumanji bows to her and says, you know, you are a very noble soul. And the monkeys say, can we stay here? Can we stay? Hanumanji says, no, because that is sattvic karta. He says, our duty is something else. We have had whatever water fruit you want. Now we have to go. So that is the difference between sattvic and rajasic. When we are on the spiritual path, then that should be my goal. And on the way, there will be other temptations will come. Arey, I had to get up in the morning to meditate, but it's so cold outside. It's so raining. We always look for excuses why I can't do it. And the temptations will come. You know, sattvic karta is always focused on his goal and does not depend on immediate pleasures. While a rajasic person says, let me enjoy life, you know, okay, after retirement, after 65, when we have time, then we'll do it. No, nothing like that. That's why Bhagwan says, sukha dukha same kritva labha labhav jaya jayo. He says in life you will have sukha dukha, joy and sorrow, labha and labha, profit and loss, victory and success, but do your duty and remain balanced in all these, because nobody's life is going to be perfect. And only the ultimate, there is only one siddhi, one goal, one purpose, and that is knowing the truth. And Raman Maharishi ji says it very beautifully in Sadarshanam. He says, Siddhasya vitti sata eva siddhi swapno mana khalu siddhya anyaya. He says the only siddhi, the only accomplishment is if you have accomplished the truth, if you have known the truth. Any other accomplishment, whether you may be a great accountant, lawyer, doctor, engineer, housewife, cook, mother, none of those accomplishments have any reality. Swapno mana. The only thing worth accomplishing is one, and that is sata eva siddhi, knowing the truth, knowing I am that truth. And in life, all these things are temporary. Nothing is permanent. There's a very beautiful little short story. So there is this man who goes to this Mahatma and bows down and says, Mahatma ji, please help me. Please help me. So he was in distress. He was crying. So Mahatma ji says, what happened? Why are you crying? He says, you know, my mother is so sick. And doctor says she has very short time to live. Mahatma ji says, we all have very short time to live. None of us is going to live very long. When you count that billions of years of existence, how much is 70, 80 years? Not even a breath. So there is an urgency. We don't have that much time. We don't know when, you know, Yamaraj will come knocking on our door. So let us start on this journey and let us live a sattvic life. Now we'll talk about rajas, which majority of us fit in that. Shloka 27. Ragi karma phala prepsuhu.
Ragi karma phala prepsuhu.
Lukto hinsatma ko shuchihi.
Lukto hinsatma ko shuchihi.
Arsha shokan vita karta.
Harsha shokanvita karta.
Rajasah parikirtitah.
Rajasah parikirtitah.
Ragi karma phala prepsu.
Lubdohimsatma koshuchihi.
Harsha shokanvita karta. Rajasah parikirtitah. So Rajasah parikirtitah. Parikirtitah means that is how he is very well known as a Rajasic person. And who is that Rajasic person? Ragi. Ragi means Gurudev describes as passionate, very, very attached to things. And what is karma phala prepsuhu? Karma phala means what will I get? What is my gain in this? That is the first thing and the only thing that prepsuhu means he's so attached to the result that what will I get? What is my percentage? You know, that is his whole goal in life. Lubdha means greedy. And when he does not get what he wants, himsatmaka, he can even become violent. He can even destroy others. Why? Ashuchihi, his mind is impure. Full of impurities. And we are doing in Thursday evening, Manashodhanam, what is purification of mind? So his mind is full of impurity, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mata, matsarya, anger, greed, jealousy, you know, selfishness, so on. Pride, arrogance. So ashuchihi, he is impure. And harsha shoka anvita, and harsha shoka, one day happy, one day unhappy. If I get what I want, happy. If I don't get, unhappy. And his mind is all the time fluctuating, never balanced, always agitated. Such a person is said to be rajasic. So ragi, as we said, very attached to results, very passionate, but passionate only about himself, not passionate about a cause. But passionate about I, me, and my, what can I get, not what can I give. And always, even while he is working, he's always thinking, what will happen when I get this, if I get this, how great it will be. If I don't get, how sad it will be. So his attention is always focused on the result. And even while acting, his actions are not perfect. But a sattvic person lives in the present. This is what I have to do now. Does it? And the result will come. But a rajasic person is always worried about what he will get. And so his performance is not as good as the sattvic person, because his mind is already focused on what will happen if I get, and then how bad it will be if I don't get. Then look the greedy. There's a very interesting story. So there was this miser who one time went to Gangaji for a bath, you know, and at the Gangaji, there are always these Brahmins who are waiting to catch, you know, koi aaya, let me catch him, do shrad, so I will get some dakshina. So this early morning, this miser goes into the Gangaji. And this Brahmin comes, you know, you will do shrad, you want to do shrad. So miser says, do you have, miser was trying to get out. So he saw that the Brahmin didn't have anything in his hand. He said, do you have any chandan? So Brahmin says, I don't have chandan, but we can take Gangaji wreath and put it on your head. And then nothing more holy than the dust from Gangaji, you know. So I'll put it on your forehead as chandan. So the miser says, he finds a frog. He says, okay, this is your dakshina. You know, Panditji needs gau danam. He says, this is your dakshina. And there is his beautiful shloka. He says, Ganga ji ki ret ko chandan karke maan, Ganga ji ki mend ki gau karke jaan. He said, if you're saying this dust is chanda, then this frog is your dakshina. You can take it and go. So that is lubdha, greedy. Never give a penny to anybody, but always keep myself. Why? Because his whole work in life is profit motive. Even we find big corporations, you know, they have millions and billions. They keep accumulating more and more and get more power. And the only focus is what is the bottom line, not how much society is benefiting, but how much we can give to our shareholders. The CEOs make hundreds of millions of dollars, and they don't care how much exploitation happens, how many people are exploited, how many companies are destroyed, how much the nature is destroyed, the environment, because their only motive is profit. And the motive is very low. That how, what can I get, and how much I can, and how much damage they inflict, they don't care about. That's why it's called himsatmako ashuchi. Their motives are impure. And we find even in medicine, now in pharmacology, once the person has a monopoly on a drug, he will just increase the price, you know, thousands of dollars a month, 25, 30,000 a month. And, you know, poor people can't afford it. People are dying. Doesn't matter. There is no idea that there should be a nobility when I'm making medicines or when I'm taking care of people. So that is the idea. And when they don't get what they want, they are unhappy. When they get what they want, they are very happy. So there is a phrase that says, kshane tushta, kshane pushta, tushta pushta kshane kshane. One moment, tushta, very happy. And next moment, very sad. Are nahi mila. And so that is how their life is, because their whole goal of life, their whole purpose of life is I, me, and my. And not what I can give, but what I can get. And so when that is the motive, then such a person's actions are impure. They can be violent, you know. We see that people, you know, so many countries attack other countries and they want to capture and make themselves. And we are seeing that in the world right now. There is so much destruction, so much violence, so much sorrow, so much suffering. But as long as I have power, as long as I am, so whether it can happen at the international level, It can happen at the corporate level, you know, where one company wants to take another company dishonestly. Can even happen society level, even at the family level, where one person tries to show that I am more powerful and try to dominate the family and make others. So that is what they say, that is rajasic, and that should not be done, because the result of rajas is temporary. Earlier, Bhagwan had told us in previous chapters that this worldly success will only stay with us for so long. Ultimately, it has to be given up. No matter, you may be the richest person in the world, you may be the smartest person in the world, but the body you will drop at certain stage. Only thing that will stay with us, this permanent, is that our karmas, our good karmas. So that is what will stay with us. And ultimately, it is only sattva which will take us to God. Rajas and tamas will keep us caught in this world again and again, birth after birth, and sorrow after sorrow. And if our actions have been negative in this life, then obviously this life will also be bad, and subsequent lives will also be bad. And so the only way to get out of this cycle, get out of this sorrow, is live a life of sattva, life dedicated to God, and life of service. What can I do for others? Now Bhagwan uses the maximum adjectives for tamasic. A lot of beautiful adjectives Bhagwan has used for tamas. 28. Ayukta prakrita stabdaha.
Ayukta prakrita stabdaha.
Kato naishkriti kolasaha.
Shatau
Nishkruti
Kola
Saha
Shadi
Dirga Sutri Cha Nishadi Durga Sutricha Karta Tamasa Uchyate. So Karta, that doer, is said to be Tamasik. Uchyate means is said, is told by others, that is Tamasik. Who is that? So Bhagavan gives him beautiful adjectives. Ayuktaha means unsteady. Not yuktaha means united. Ayukta means unsteady, disunited. That is his nature. Prakrita. Prakrita, samskrita is the opposite of prakrita. So samskrita does not mean that he does not know Sanskrit. No. Samskrita means cultured. Prakrita means uncultured. Has no culture, has no goodness in him. Stabdaha. Stabdaha means he is rigid, like a tree stump. He is rigid. Shatha. Shatha means deceitful. And Ravana again and again gets called Shatha in Ramayana. Angadji calls him Shatha. Then when Lakshmanji sends a letter with the Dut, and Ravana says, read it aloud. And Lakshmanji starts with calling him Shatha in the whole court, and the whole court laughs because Ravana was deceitful. So Shatha means deceitful. Naishkritika. Naishkritika means one who does malicious actions, not have good intention, but does action with a malicious intention, wrong intention, harmful actions. Alasaha. Alasaha means lazy. Alas, that is, alas is there in all the Indian languages, means lazy. Vishadi. Vishadi means sorrowful, always complaining. And Dirgha Sutri. Dirgha means long. Sutri means string. Long string means you, whatever he is given, he extends it long and long. Procrastinator. Cha. And that karta is said to be tamasik. So let us see the adjectives that Bhagwan has given her or him to this tamasik karta. Ayuktaha means mind is very unsteady. See, what is a steady mind? Steady mind is that which is under the focus of the intellect, under the control of the intellect. And that is called a yogi, or yukta, is one whose intellect and mind are together. Intellect, which is guided by the shastras, by the scriptures and the guru, and then that knowledge, when it controls the mind, then that is said to be yukta. But if the person says, I don't feel like following all these scriptures and this and that, several thousand ago, years ago, somebody told somebody, why am I following now? Aajkal to this Gita and Upanishad are not relevant, Bible and all that. That was 2,000 years ago. Somebody told somebody, why are we following? That is ayukta. Mind is not following the intellect, which is guided by the scriptures. And Sanskrita, as we said, is the one who is cultured. Sam means well, Krita means done. So his life is well lived, his mind is well lived, his intellect is with the right understanding. So prakritaha means his mind is uncultured, does not follow what he is supposed to do. That is prakritaha. Then it is said his life is like a balasa, like a child. You know, like a child who just gets focused on something insignificant and starts crying in the middle of the shopping mall. He will lie down and, you know, start kicking his legs. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. So that is balasa. So that is a tamasic person. For some small thing, he will get so upset. And just as a mother has to drag the child, come on. So same way somebody has to tell this person, why are you acting like a child? You know, some small little thing you are holding on to and crying for, and that is tamasik, balasaha, like a child. But child means not a well-behaved child, an ill-behaved child who does cries for small things and does not stop crying till he gets what he wants. And until then, he will be unhappy, and until somebody corrects him. Then stabdaha, he's like a stump. Like a tree stump, you know, like a trunk of a tree is rigid. It stands straight like a big tree and doesn't bend for anything. The branches will bend, the leaves will bend when the wind comes, but the trunk is firm. So this person is like that. This tamasic person is like a tree trunk, stabda. Never bow down to anybody. Somebody say, you know, there's a Mahatma here. Nobody is better than me. I am the best. Doesn't bow down to his Mahatma, to his parents, to his guru. He has no idea of guru, no idea. Even he won't go to the temple. Why? Because I'm not going to go and bow down to some statue or something made by man. So that is stabda, and that is a very, and that's why they say he is in Sapta Bhumika. He always lives in the seventh heaven. That's what he thinks. That I am on top, I am the best, I am the greatest. And last week also we said, ko asti sadrisho maya, who is equal to me? Who is as great as me? So no humility, arrogance, pride, and that is tamasic with a wrong pride. It's not somebody has really accomplished, this guy has not done anything and still he is proud. And Bhagwan is giving so many that even if one or two out of these we have, we are tamasic. It's, that doesn't mean that I should have all seven. No, even if one or two of these we have is tamasic. So this we have to read very carefully, because see, you know, we have heard this sadhan chatushtaya, that I should have vivek, vairagya, shat sampatti, mumukshutvam. Those things are hard to understand. You know, what is vivek, what is vairagya, what is shama, dama, upar. So Bhagavan says, well, maybe this guy hasn't understood. So he makes it clear. Okay, this is what you should not do. Don't be deceitful. Don't be, you know, disunited. Don't do wrong actions. So that is why he makes it very clear. Then Shatha, deceitful, is a person who tries to hurt others by his action. So suppose he's working in an office. What this person will do is that spread false rumors about his co-worker. You know, this guy did that, this guy did this. Or in a community, you know, a lady will spread rumors about some other person whom she doesn't like, false rumors. Why? So that this person should go down and I should go up. So in the company, that person should get fired or he should lose his job or he should go down. I should get promoted. So that is deceitful, where I am raising myself by putting others down. That is called naishkritikaha. And that is called malicious wrong actions. Then alasaha, lazy. And when you ask him anything to do, I'll do it later. Abhi nahi, you know, not today, maybe tomorrow. What time will you get up? I don't know. You know, is it 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock? It's okay. Never get up early on time, never do what he's supposed to do. Everything is later, never does it. Let somebody, hoping that somebody else will do it. If he's supposed to do the dishes, he will delay enough till finally mother gets tired. You know, sink is full. Let me just go do it. So he knows, he's very smart. Just keep delaying it. Finally, or in the company also, he'll keep delaying till somebody else does the work. So that is lazy. Alasaha. And vishadi. Vishadi means always his mouth, his face is sorrowful. You ask him, how's life? Nothing is good. Always crying, always complaining. Weather is not good, and this is not good, and that is not good. And the moment you ask him, hi, how are you? Forget it. That was the mistake, because he will immediately start. You know, today what happened? I got up, my coffee was cold, and then my car didn't start, and then I have a headache. And by the time you are done with him, you have a headache. So that is vishadi. He always is complaining, and his face, 12 baje, you know, his face pe 12 baje. I mean, his face is always miserable. You never don't even feel like looking at him. Vishadi, Dirga Sutri, this is a beautiful one, means procrastinator. Shankaracharya ji says, whatever he's supposed to do today, maase api na karoti, even for a month, he will not do it. That is vishadi. Keep postponing, procrastinator. There's a beautiful short poem. I have said it before, but it's my favorite. So those who have heard it, please hear again. There are a lot of new ones who haven't heard it, so it's worth telling. So he says, kal kare so aaj kare so ab, pal me parlay hoegi, phir karega kab. He says, what you have to do tomorrow, do today. What you have to do, do it right now. Because when you will leave your body, when death will come, we don't know. And then when will you do it? So this is my favorite, this Vishadi, you know, Dirga Sutri. He says, aaj kare so kal kare so parso, itni bhi jaldi kya hai, jina to hai barso. What you have to do today, do tomorrow. What you have to do tomorrow, do day after tomorrow. What is the hurry? We have so many years to live. So that is typical Dirga Sutri, where everything is, that's why in Spanish, there is a beautiful phrase, mañana. Anything you ask them, mañana, I will do it tomorrow. And that is how this tamasic person lives his life. And it's not that always you can, maybe you may not be able to do everything immediately. You know, there may be some obstacles, there may be some problems, but the idea is that I should at least put my best effort in doing what I am supposed to do. I do my best. And then circumstances may happen that maybe I couldn't accomplish it today. You know, sometimes you have to, you know, finish tomorrow or day after. But the motive behind it is that efficiency and urgency, that this is what I must do. This is my goal. This is my duty, and do it to the best of my ability, putting all my effort in this job. So I should do my part, and then maybe others in the company are not cooperative and they are not working, or others in the family are not working. So by my actions, I inspire others. But if I am myself lazy, then I will bring the whole company down, bring the whole family down, bring the whole community down. So that is the tamasic person who does not even put the right effort. Another tamasic individual is one who is very good at talking. He's giving lectures to others. You know, you should do this, you should do that. This is what we should do. He will even say that. But at the end result, you find he does nothing. But he is very good in talking, you know, giving good lectures, and he's very smart, and we all should be inspired. So that is tamasic, where I tell others to do something, but don't practice it myself. That's what they say. Practice what you preach. If you are not going to do it, then that is tamasic. So here Bhagwan has finished sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. Jnanam, knowledge, karma, action, and karta. And now Bhagwan is taking up a new topic, and we'll just introduce the topic today with one shloka, and then next week we will talk about this topic. Actually, next week is Parents' Day, where we won't have a Gita class. But if those who are on Zoom are interested in watching, we can put it on Zoom. You can watch the children performing on the stage, and what they have learned throughout the year. They have prepared plays or short skits, and the teachers have prepared it with them. So we'll try to have it on Zoom. So if any of you would like to see what our Bal Vihar children are learning, we'll do that next week. Amit will set it up for us. So thank you, Amit. So today we'll introduce the next topic in shloka number 29, and then talk in detail about this topic in 2 weeks. Buddhir Bhedam Dhritesh Chaiva.
Buddhir Bhedam Dhritesh Chaiva.
Gunatas Trividham Shrunu.
Prochyamanamasheshena
Prithaktvena Dhananjaya Buddhir Bhedam Dhritesh Chaiva Gunatas Trividham Shrunu Dhananjaya. So he's addressing Arjuna as Dhananjaya in the end. Dhananjaya means Arjuna had acquired a lot of wealth when the Pandava kingdom was established. He was the one that was very active in raising a lot of money for the kingdom. So Dhananjaya, Jaya means one who has collected a lot of wealth. Also means he had the wealth of inner purity, inner qualities, inner goodness. That is also the true wealth. So he had that, Dhananjaya. So what Bhagwan says, Buddhir Bhedam. Bhedam means what are the different kinds of buddhi and dhriti, dhritesh chaiva. So different kinds of buddhi, different kinds of dhriti, cha eva also indeed. Listen, how? Guna trividam. Listen to sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic buddhi, and rajasic, sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic dhriti. So buddhi of three kinds and dhriti of three kinds. Shrunu, listen to me. So here again, when something is important, Bhagwan uses the word shrunu. Shrunu means listen. Pay attention. Don't just hear it, but listen with your full mind. And prochyamana, and it is being told by me, Bhagwan says. This entire Gita, of course, was spoken through Bhagwan, through his mind, through his mouth alone. Bhagwan himself speaks it. Prochyamanam asheshena. Asheshena means I will tell you this completely. What is buddhi? What is dhriti? What is sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic? Prithaktvena, and separately, completely, the whole thing, and also how it is divided into sattva, rajas, and tamas. So earlier we had heard about jnanam, and now he's saying buddhi, you know, just few shlokas back. Isn't that the same? You know, people think jnana and knowledge and buddhi is the same. I also actually thought that till I read this commentary. So they say that buddhi and jnanam are, there's a slight difference. Jnanam is the vision. What is the vision of my life? What is the vision of our family, our community, our company, our nation? What is our long-term goal? What is our vision? That is jnanam. And buddhi is how we will accomplish that goal, how we will apply our mind to accomplish that which is the vision. Like the CEO of the company may have, you know, the companies always outline a vision. Now, how will the workers in the company carry that out? That is called buddhi. How? I mean, through their mind. Then, of course, they have to use their mind to implement that, and then their body to work. So that is, so one is vision and one is execution. And it can be in anything, like they want to build a new factory. So the CEO says, you know, we'll build a new factory in that particular state because we don't have a presence there. So when we build, when we'll create jobs, and then we'll manufacture a lot and the company will grow. Then there are people assigned to go to that state and find out which area is, land is cheap where we can buy the factory. It is close to the highways, close to the airports. So those who, and then there are others who go and do the work. So vision and then execution, how the factory will be built. Now, in the process of building the factory, there are some obstacles come. You know, power prices go up, or gas prices go up, or some two directors who were in charge quit. You know, why? Because they were hired by some other company at a better salary. Now, suddenly two top people who were working are gone, or there are different problems. You know, water is not enough. You know, all those things come. There is a drought, there is a water shortage. All those problems come. Then how to overcome those problems and stay focused on the goal is dhriti. Okay, even the top directors quit, doesn't matter. Somebody else will step up. So who is the one that is qualified to step up? Not letting obstacles interrupt us and not deviating from our goal, our vision. So and that's what they say. You should have a sattvic vision, sattvic jnanam. Then you will have sattvic buddhi, and then you will have sattvic karma, you will have sattvic karta. So everything starts with the vision, then the right knowledge, how to apply that vision, and then how to carry out and not to deviate from our goal. And that is what Bhagavan says, that buddhi and dhriti. So dhriti means no matter what obstacles come, if I have decided this I'm going to do, I will do it. And that is called, and as we have studied, the highest goal, of course, is spiritual unfoldment, realization. So putting all my effort in that direction, not letting my mind be deviated. And that's what Bhagavan says. I will tell you in detail and separately what is sattvic buddhi, rajasic, tamasic, what is sattvic dhriti, rajasic, tamasic. And we find that not only in the world, but also like in physicians, in doctors, they may have studied medicine. Everybody has studied medicine, past MBBS or MD or whatever. But then the ability to apply that knowledge in taking care of patients. See, jnanam is that I have passed the exam. But then when a patient comes in front of me, how do I deal with that? And how do I diagnose his illness and then cure it? That is buddhi. So jnanam is the knowledge. Everybody has studied the books. Or it could be engineering, same thing. You know, I have a computer issue or an engineering program. I have studied it, but then the ability to apply that in the world, the person may not have. Like I have the recipe, I have studied from internet, I have downloaded, but then actually when I cook, whether it comes out as good as, you know, what they show on TV and all these cooking channels. So one is the knowledge, and then one is the application of the knowledge with the mind, intellect. And then the third is actually physically doing it. And ultimately the result is like, you know, food also. I have cooked from the recipe, but is it edible? Are people enjoying it? If I, you know, myself should enjoy my cooking before I inflict it on others. So that is called buddhi. And that is difference between buddhi and jnanam. And then driti is how to apply that despite obstacles. We'll end here. I just want to advise people that if you don't have this book, please get it. And if you have it, read this topic that we cover either before the class or after the class, because then this knowledge will become firm. Also, Gurudev has very beautifully, after every topic, he has made charts. Like in page, if you look in page 46 of the 18th chapter, he has made a chart about sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic jnanam. And then when he talks about karma, in that page, he has made a very beautiful chart. What is sattvic karma, rajasic karma, tamasic? So on one page, you can see. And then what is sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic karta? So that's why I try not to cover what is in this book so that you can read on your own. And I try to get other commentaries. We try to discuss other things. But this everybody should read, and preferably before the class or after the class. Then only the ideas will become pakka. Otherwise, just listening one time doesn't help. Even I myself find if I have just listened to some Swamiji or some Acharya talking, one time listening, I think in the Thursday class, we were talking about reception, retention, and recollection. So I receive it. That is, out of 100%, we receive only 50%. Then by the end of the class, it only 20% left. And next day, probably less than 5%, not at all. It happens to all of us. So repeated listening, that's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita again and again emphasizes. You say, Are, he has already talked about likes and dislikes, raga, dvesha, and this and that. But repeated listening will make the ideas pakka, because they say like a groove, like, you know, the Grand Canyon, the river over billions of years has made a 7,000 foot deep canyon. So same way, this knowledge has to make a groove in our mind, in our thinking, our understanding. And that's why these thoughts are being repeated. And I would recommend everybody to please read that again and again. I will end here. We have about 10 minutes, 11 minutes. If we have any questions, comments, please feel free to add or ask. Do the gallery view so we can see everybody. Yeah, any questions, any comments? Anything you agree, disagree? Moini Aunty.
There are lots of people who are on.
Is on? I think it was making noise. So.
There are lots of people who talk very sarcastically. In which category will they come?
Oh, those who...
They are good people.
Mm-hmm. So there are good
people. Yeah, their activities are good, but they talk...
Right. So I think the people who are sarcastic, who put others down, I think depending on their level, there's a degree, but probably those who put others down and are all the time sarcastic to inflate themselves, probably I would count them with more tamasic. Again, you know, depending on how much it is, it can be rajasic also, where I'm competing with somebody and trying to put that person down. But if I'm dishonestly putting person down and speaking false things about him, sarcastic, that are very painful that are very hurtful, then that I think is more tamas, I would think. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know, but thanks for explaining. I think it's a good explanation.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions, anybody? Yes, Satish.
I have two things. One is that is Gnan and Vignan is the same as Buddhi and knowledge? Can we just talk?
No, Vignan is practical application of that knowledge. So that means Jnana is what I have heard from others, from the guru. But Vijnana is when it becomes my own knowledge. So there's a subtle difference. Vijnana is knowledge. When it becomes my own knowledge, that is Vijnana. While Buddhi is implementation of that knowledge. So these are very subtle, you know, differences. But the idea is that what I know, I should apply in my life and implement it.
And the other thing, you know, it's, of course, we have to go from tamas to rajas to sattva. But they all three are still binding. So we have to go beyond that.
Yes.
So gunatita, right?
Right.
So that's the step. Is that described in this chapter?
No, in the
14th
chapter, Arjuna asks, how does a gunatit function in the world? And how can I go beyond the gunas? And at the end of the 14th chapter, Bhagwan explains very good, beautifully. He says, as Satish Bhai asked two things. One is difference between jnana and vijnana we talked about. And how to go beyond the three gunas. And the three gunas can also bind. Tamas we know. You know, person gets bound with laziness, with indolence, doesn't care. Rajas, he gets bound with passion, with aggression. I must get it. I put others down no matter what happens. I must succeed. But sattva can also be binding because then person gets so caught in the... He thinks he's more sattvic than others. That is one. Other thing is that no matter what happens, I should do it, which is good. But at maybe a time when it may not be, like a mother has to do puja at a certain time in the morning. But her child is sick that day, you know. So she says, okay, today, Bhagwan, I'm not able to do puja. But if she says, no, I don't care that I have to do my puja, then that is also become binding. That also becomes a bondage. And so that is called... You can be bound by tamas, rajas, or sattva. But a wise person who goes beyond those, because anything that you accomplish in the world, as Raman Maharishi said, swapna mana khalu, whatever I accomplish, anything in the world is only a dream. But we are so focused on that, that we get bound. But a person who wants to go beyond gunas only through knowledge. Activity will keep you bound in the world. Activity, anything I do, good, bad, indifferent, it's all binding. Only through knowledge, knowing that I am that gunatit, I am that consciousness, oh, that Brahman, that is my true nature. And abiding in that is the only way to get out of bondage. So doing all activities, we don't stop doing. Some people may not. Some people may take sannyas and stay in the forest and meditate. That is their nature, is fine. Another person like Pujya Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda, worked his whole life, but they always remain established in that truth, in that knowledge that I am that Chidananda Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham. I am that consciousness. And their activities are pure because they come out of understanding, out of knowledge, out of wisdom. And then their whole life is a life of service, how they can help others. And we see all these great Mahatmas, spontaneously they served the world. They did not do it with the idea that what will I get? Or even the idea of service is not there. They just, the wisdom just poured out of them. And then these rishis who wrote the Upanishads, actually they didn't even write them. They, in their meditation, heard it. And then it just poured out of them, and their shishyas were the ones who memorized, and then they transferred to their shishya and guru shishya. And finally, Ved Vyas ji said, look, you know, we have to write this down, otherwise it will get lost. So that those are the people who go beyond these three gunas, that is called gunatit. And the Bhagavan has explained in detail in the 14th chapter. But one who remains always established in his true nature and then does whatever is required. It does not mean that the, you know, person runs away from the world. And some of them not run away, but they have so much vairagya that they just leave the world and stay in meditation. But they also bless the world with their presence. So it's not that, like Tapovan Maharaj just stayed in Uttarkashi. He said, I'm not going anywhere. Just stayed in meditation. 3-4 students he had, sometimes he had none. He was fine. But he only needed one Swami Chinmayananda, and his knowledge spread to the whole world. All of us are benefiting because one Mahatma was sitting in the Himalayas meditating and realized the truth. And he actually didn't have a formal teacher. You know, his knowledge was amazing. He never sat and learned. And then through him, now we are so much are benefiting. So that is a person who is gunatit, who doesn't care about sattva, rajas, and tamas. He's beyond all three. So I hope that answers.
Yes, yes, thank you. And what I read somewhere in there, that the person, the wise man, he sees that all these gunas, they are working according to their nature.
Yes.
But I'm not affected by it.
Right. Very true. Yeah. Guna guneshu vartante iti matva na sajjate. Bhagavan says that gunas will do, sattva will do its job, rajas will do its job, tamas will do its job, but I am beyond those three gunas.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's, thank you for bringing that up. That's a good point. Anything else anybody has? Hansa, you have anything to add?
Not much. I'm just going to say the difference in the knowledge will be and fortitude, what we're trying to say. Knowledge is what we are studying. I'm putting it right now where we are.
Yes, good.
What we are studying from the books is the knowledge we are collecting.
Right.
Now, we can all memorize the whole Gita and collect in my head. But understanding the Gita is the understanding.
Right, very good.
And that understanding of the Gita, you have to forget the words of. And once you understand Gita, you live accordingly. And while living, you still encounter difficulties. That's the fortitude. You consistently think of that knowledge, an understanding that you had, and follow that. When you follow that in a society, living in a society, there are a lot of pitfalls going to come.
Right.
Because you may not go quite according to what you understood Gita. So either you go back to Gita to see if I, where I'm wrong, or correct the problem that's in front of you. So that's what is fortitude, when you continue doing the same thing again until you're perfected.
Thank you. That's very good.
That's how I would look at it. I mean, this is a practical thing for us.
Yeah, Hansa, thank you for this beautiful explanation of, I think on Zoom, people couldn't hear, so I'll just interpret. So they say that what is the difference between knowledge, understanding, and application? So like we have studied the Bhagavad Gita, we have heard that is knowledge. And then how much you have understood of that. And that is understanding. And then how much you apply of that in your life. So that is three, jnanam, buddhi, and dhriti. And then in the life, when you're trying to apply this knowledge, there may be obstacles, there may be difficulties. So how do you overcome those? So that is the 3 points. Thank you for bringing that up. I think we can end here. We'll go to the hall for Aarti. And next week is Parents' Day. There won't be a Bhagavad Gita class, but if you wish to listen to or watch the children performing on the stage, we'll have that. Otherwise, we'll meet in 2 weeks for the Gita class. We'll continue buddhi and dhriti, the three kinds of buddhi and three kinds of dhriti. Bhagavan has explained that. And thank you all for joining on Zoom and for coming in person. See you.
What time it will be next week? Will it be Meditation time or?
Same, 11 to 12:15 California time. So for you, it will be 2 o'clock.
11 to 12.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Same time, 11 to 12:15. The children, maybe till 12:30, we'll see the children doing different plays, you know, performances about what they have learned for throughout the year. The teachers have prepared them. So it'll be the same time and same Zoom link. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu
Niramaya
Sarve
Bhadrayantu
Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Thank you. Harihi Om.